then we will be to the point that we could either make a decision today on which one of the three we would appoint, or we could hold that decision for next week to give us all time to kind of review in our minds exactly what we've seen and heard and who we feel would be best. With that, Lee, I'd invite you up and say good morning, or yes, still good morning. Thank you for being with us. Thank you for your service on the VA Commission for the last, how many years?
3 years.
Last 3 years, and appreciate you applying to be reappointed. Tell us about yourself.
Well, first of all, I'll comment at 11:30. It's 11:30, so
we've got a tight meeting around here, Lee.
I knew that, and yet another example. Well, as you said, I've spent 3 years on the Veterans Affairs Commission and worked with Brett and now Aaron, and it's been a good 3 years, and I would like to continue. So I was born in Zeering, Iowa, and grew up there, and after 35 years of being elsewhere, I found myself back in Story County, and so here I am this morning.
And live in Ames now?
Yeah, live in Ames currently.
Tell us about your experiences on the VA Commission in the last 3 years.
Well, let's see. What really sticks out in my mind is the fact that Brett, we talked about this at the last meeting. For 12 years, he's run what we call the supermarket around Veterans Day in November, currently held at the Moose. And that's been a home run and continues to be a home run to reach out to other people, to veterans. And looking towards the future, we are always trying to find ways to reach to different veterans, because after 12 years, we kind of see the same faces over and over. So along those lines, a couple people out of the Veterans Hospital in Des Moines would like to piggyback on what Brett does and run their own event here in Story County. And I'm currently working with them on ideas how to do that and how to reach veterans that we don't normally see through our normal events.
Outstanding. Questions?
I think you've answered this somewhat, Lee, but with another term, you've enumerated a few things. What else would you like to see done with that time if you were provided?
The one that comes to mind is what I just mentioned, right, that we're currently working on. I think just continue what we've been doing. Brett and Aaron, have used the supermarket format, and we in May have done a similar event, decided to move it to the Moose due to weather issues, and so to continue.
As you well know, it's kind of a tiered governmental system here, in that you have the commission that makes a lot of plans, but the funding comes through us, okay? Can you think of a situation where that has happened in the last 3 years, and what you encouraged Brett to do, or you as the commission did, to try and change our mind, or what would you do?
Well, we put together a budget. Use the past as a mirror into the future. In the last 3 years, we've had no budget issues. All our needs have been covered. So,
Lee, utilize the office space discussion, because I think it speaks to what I believe the question Laura's asking, where at least initially there was disagreement between the Board of Supervisors and the VA Commission on where Brett's physical location was going to be within the Human Service Center. Just talk through your perspective of how that conversation went.
Okay. The commission felt very strongly that Brett should remain in the office he had for traffic reasons. We were convinced, shall I say, that Brett should move to his current location. And uh, I although that is not as visible an office as he once had, is, from my perspective, it's worked out very well. And
so Lee's part in that, and I sure don't mean to speak for you, but at that time you were chair of the VA commission.
Yes,
when we were
right.
having the discussion. And so he was sitting right there, and the board was sitting right here, and we were talking back and forth of pros and cons, and I thought Lee did an outstanding job representing the commission's perspective that Brett should stay where he was. Ended up that the board of supervisors decided that we were making the move, and the commission, from my perspective, was phenomenal in working to make it as smooth a transition as possible and everything piece together. And I'm very happy to hear that you see it now as operating pretty smoothly.
It is. And with the administrative staff that Brett has access to and Aaron has access to now, it works very well. So, and along those lines, Mr. Chairman, I will remind everyone that during those discussions, the commission was adamant about another certified service officer.
Right.
And I know we finally convinced the supervisor, the board, to see it our way. And so, with Aaron being on board now, it's been a home run, a grand slam.
Definitely a two-way street in terms of the conversation.
Yes.
Thank you. Other questions?
I go on.
No, I'm trying to formulate a question. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, part of our instructions, Lear, were to ask all of the applicants the same questions, and that's kind of tough when you've got the one who's already sitting there, and you know, as opposed to someone who just has plans. But so I'm interested in the access issue or whatever issue it is that the VA hospital in Des Moines wants to come up and do with the supermarket. I mean, why are they coming up here? Are we not sending enough people down?
No, they have a part of their mission is for outreach, and one of the people I'm working with is in charge of women's, is in charge of women's programs.
Okay.
And so...
Okay, thank you.
If you had the ability to ask the board, as we have a new board, on a going forward basis, if you were placed back on this commission to do one thing in behalf of the VA commission as we have it established, what would that be? Obviously, you were forceful when you spoke to getting Brad help, and that came to pass. What else is there? You can't just tell me there was one thing.
Well, I will answer by saying to continue to fund us at the level that we currently have, which gives us flexibility because we, at the end of the year, we have the ability to do things that we would like to do that maybe probably some of the smaller counties aren't able to accomplish. So money talks. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Talk to us, so you have served on the commission during the transition from three commissioners to five commissioners. Give us your perspective on that change, pros and cons.
Well, cons is numbers, right? When you go from three to five, you've got more moving pieces. The pros are easy in that we have now five ideas or five sources of ideas as opposed to three. And... I'll say that the legislation that drove us to five for gender balance, I know is working well because it will provide maybe this next term or the next year, ability for some people who haven't had access to government to be able to participate participate and perhaps even in leadership roles on the commission.
Good.
So the law works.
Super. Other questions for Lee?
No.
Okay. So at this point, either of you can make a motion to appoint any of the three that we've heard from. I'm going to suggest that for fairness to all concerned, we hold the appointment of the VA for 1 week, and we come back and we have the full conversation regarding all three before we make the appointment. That's my suggestion. It's you guys' call if you want to make a motion to appoint one of the three we've heard from.
I agree with the fairness aspect, that that gives an opportunity for all three applicants to be here if they want or not. I know it's terrible to have to pull, you know, everybody in for a second time, but then so I'm comfortable with that. It also gives, you know, opportunity for everybody to think more.
Yeah, I would like the opportunity just to, as you were speaking, Lee, I just was writing things down. I like to go back and compare what I wrote beyond your remarks to what was said by Jerry and Lynn.
Lee, thank you so much. Thank you for being here today. Thank you for your service on the VA Commission. We've got three outstanding applicants, and really appreciate that you're one of them.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks. I don't see our applicant for asset, Abdullah Muhammad, here with us today. How about if we just move on, and if he is able to get here, then we'll pull it up and have that conversation, Deb? Okay. Okay. So next is discussion and consideration of revised Story County Employee Handbook effective 7/1/17. Alyssa.
Good morning.
Still good morning, Alyssa. Look at us. Hey, something's going to happen, but we're moving right along right now.
Good morning. Prior to each fiscal year, we do update the employee handbook to include policies that were revised or approved by the Board of Supervisors. We include new insurance rates in our employee handbook. What I did is I did update all that. I attached the new handbook. I did attach a quick synopsis of what changed, what the changes were. I won't go through all of it. We did have towards the bottom in our benefits section, there was some redundant language under the procedures of health insurance. It stated that employees, you know, if they leave employment, they can continue. We cover that in both the COBRA section. We cover it in that section to continue according to Iowa Code 509A. So I just wanted to clean it up a little bit. Other than that, there are no big changes in the handbook. If you want me to go one by one, I can do that.
Well, but all of these changes that we're talking about are changes that were approved separately by the board.
Yes.
And we've got some other edits that do not change the gravamen of the document that are part of this, right? That do not change what the document means.
Correct. If I just remove the redundant language.
Right. But everything else has been approved by this board in our normal process, and now it's just having one document that in one place reflects everything as it currently stands.
Correct. The only one, the under Section 7 benefits, it says the continuation coverage under 509A. The code section doesn't say it reflects employee. The intent is that we offer them the coverage they have when they leave employment. So if they have family coverage, we offer them family coverage.
And so you're talking about clarifying
that, just so that, you know, if someone down the road wants to know how we implemented that or how our processes work, that's
discussion fun. Questions, board.
I have no questions and really no discussion.
Okay, Marty, you good?
I'm good. I like the fact that we are doing this in a timely manner to reflect that things change.
Super.
We can't be the worst thing you can do as an administrator to let your guidelines fall behind coding.
Right. Yeah.
And we're not doing that, and I appreciate Alyssa doing that on our behalf.
Absolutely. All right, so I take a motion.
I would move consideration of the revised Story County Handbook effective date July 1 of this year.
I would second.
Any further discussion? Chief.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. Passed. Thanks, Alyssa.
Thank you.
Departmental reports. We're fortunate to have Emergency Manager Director Keith Morgan with us today. Keith, how you doing?
Good morning. Happy to be here, proud to serve.
Every time I see you, you're happy to be here and proud to serve.
I will bring this up. I'll be referring to it in a second here. First off, as you can see from the update that I provided, this has been a very, very busy quarter. My objective today is to focus primarily on items that directly relate to the Board of Supervisors. So let's jump right in with exercises. In the past quarter, we had five exercises, two of them being full-scale exercises. this quarter. The objectives have ranged the full gamut between foreign animal disease outbreaks to volunteer activation to our command and control to our EOC activation. And first off, I'd like to thank the board for their support for our EOC exercise and look at some of the after-action items that came out of that. And we'll go through them as I can appreciate. We've been through a lot, but I'd like to highlight some of them that directly impact. First off, by failing to prepare, you're preparing to fail, and we are working really hard at being prepared as much as we can. A brief history of this is that this was the culmination of a 5-year, 8-month program from when I first addressed the board after I took over this position and we discussed, are we ready for Joplin? There have been 9 major action items that we have taken over those 5 years and 8 months to get us to the point where we could do this EOC exercise. The main idea behind the exercise was to test our activation procedures, test how well we tracked tasks that came up to us, test how we can hand off information from one shift to the next, which is critical in command and control, and also testing our capabilities on public information. Overall, the exercise did create the desired environment that we were looking for. We were looking to take people that are not normally associated with crisis response, putting them into an environment where they felt the stress of what would be happening, the uncertainty that is surrounding these kind of activities. The activation procedures worked quite well. Everybody got the message and was down there, albeit it was during shift time or when during normal.
You mean emergencies aren't necessarily going to occur between 8 to 5?
I don't think I would have had quite the rapid reaction maybe at, on a Saturday at 1 a.m. or 1 p.m. But overall, the process is people got the message and knew what to do when they got the message. So that worked well. The EOC staff did exceptionally well. My observers that are trained emergency managers were very impressed on, again, how people who are not normally associated with crisis response came together and adapted to the unique environment that we gave them to work in. Now, some of the areas that didn't work quite well is our information flow quite frankly overwhelmed my position within that EOC, and that was partly because of some of the training and other issues that I'll address a little bit later. And I think everybody will admit that we can be better at PIO, and I address some of that in the next slides. Getting to this slide right here, the first one there, increasing the staffing pool, Story County Administration has been very generous in allowing me to use staff to man the EOC, and it's very useful, as you can see. We had a lot of positions, not a lot, but we had some positions that were not filled. ESF2 was not filled, our communications, our medical, I had to shift one person over into that. Some of the positions, talking to folks, say we've got to have 2 people. So I will continue my recruitment activities, both internally within Story County Administration and externally. I'm through the Emergency Management Commission. I'm going to go and emphasize to our jurisdictions, it's time for them to step up and to have some people be a part of our EOC and fill out some of that staffing. So that was the key aspect there. Go ahead.
With that recruitment, are you going to people who already are doing volunteer kind like an EMS, et cetera? Or are you looking for people in the general community that would be willing to volunteer to learn?
If people in the general community are willing to volunteer, Story County Administration, a lot of folks that we put into positions weren't used to those positions, although we did try and match people to their skill sets. Folks from the treasurers and from the auditor's office went into the finance aspect to it. We plucked Kevin from the auditor. He had experience in logistics. We threw him into that position. So we'll take anybody, look at what their skill sets are, and then try and match them to the vacancies we have.
Sure. Loris, the problem with identifying somebody with the skill set and interest in early response kind of things that are already volunteering there, if we have an emergency, they're going to already be getting pulled in other directions. So we need to pull kind of from a new universe.
Right.
Yep.
The second item there goes along with what I was doing during the first few hours of getting people logged on and everything. We've got to do more training on that, and again, that impacts the Board of Supervisors because we will ramp up our training so that people have more frequency with it, and I'll need the support of the department heads and the elected officials to support that training so we're much more efficient when we're getting out the gate trying to get going quickly. A major item there, increasing the size of the EOC.
Had a lot of staff members say, we need two people in there. We did not have many of our liaisons down there. And those of you, well, you were all there and you saw how crowded it was.
Sometime in the future, we need to look for the opportunity to find a way to expand that EOC, give us more space down there to be able to efficiently and effectively operate. Obviously, that is a more high-ticket item, and that's something that we're going to have to work to develop a strategic plan to someday meet that goal. Mm-hmm. The next one, I will be trying to recruit for my EMA counterparts to give me a deputy to be in that EOC at all times. I think that will help the task tracking flow. It was brought up by the folks that were working in law enforcement that we're going to try and get the CAD, the computer-aided dispatch software, into there. Really increase our situational awareness. That'll cost a little bit of money, and it'll also create the need for us to work with IT and the sheriff's office to make that work. PIO capabilities. That is one. We started with just a basic framework, and there are a lot of items. I received some good feedback from the folks that worked in the PIO. Some of the items will be easy. For instance, a printer. I've got an extra printer down there that we can put up where our PIO is going to be. But we need to step back, take what we learned from this, and walk the PIO process from the beginning all the way through, thinking about if we had CNN sitting out in our parking lot, how would we do that? I've already set up a meeting with the folks that are on the PIO, and we're going to do that. It's going to take about an hour and a half, and we'll be coming to you with many different items that we may need. Some of it might involve facilities, some of it IT, but there are quite a few things that we're going to have to work on there. GIS capabilities, absolutely critical. That can build situational awareness much, much quicker than stacks of paper with reports on that. Matt Boyk has been outstanding to work with on that, and we're going to, together at the next MAPS meeting, discuss how we can not only improve that capability to push it forward out to the incident site, but also to how we can bridge AIMS and our GIS capability so that we have more depth within that process. Timeline, all the after-action items were to try and get things done between September of 2017 and June of 2019. A lot of it is going to be training to internal to the EOC, and with that, it's a human resource. It's probably the most critical and the thing that was most successful, but that's going to take some time away from people on their normal activities. A lot of it, I'm going to work with the jurisdictions to enhance their capabilities, and we're going to also try and put together a template for our jurisdiction so that interface with us is much more standardized. The vision is a full-scale exercise next time where we are actually interacting with a jurisdiction that's going through the same thing. That is not in that 2019 timeline. That's further on down the road. So with that, I leave it open to any questions that you might have about the exercise itself.
So any presentation that starts with a quote from Ben Franklin is going to be a good one, and I appreciate that you started there. Lots and lots of items to deal with, most of which reside with the Emergency Management Commission, but many of them at least overlap, and some completely fall to the Board of Supervisors. This is one of those areas, Board, that we have long held the belief, and I think continue to have the belief that these are resources that we put in hoping that we're never, ever, ever going to have to use them, but you prepare anyway just in case. We're fortunate to have Keith. We're fortunate to have gone through this exercise. I believe we learned more good than bad, and the bad that we learned is all things that we can start to work through and make us better prepared to be able to handle whatever might come our way.
What we learned sets a template for us to move forward with. With that, I'll move on into our planning efforts.
Well, let's see if there's any questions for Morris or Marty on the exercise.
No, frankly, I guess the takeaway was the fact that, yes, our touch was so much more on the PIO side, and you addressed that concern. As a sidebar, I would say, sitting on the Board of Health, Keith is working with us to do a deep dive on the Board of Health's response to events such as this, and we are pulling in some very weighty information and making slow progress.
Well, I think one of the things I picked up and would like the board to start looking at addressing soon is the delegation of powers, or within the board, as there's the three of us, then one has to be present at all times. And we realized it's on our list, right, our handwritten list that we were keeping, but maybe we should move forward with that and talk to legal. It's certainly not a top priority item, but if we do get hit by a tornado, that's one thing that would ease the process, and it's easier for us to do. And maybe there's some other things, like Keith was talking about getting together with the PIOs and making sure we've got a game plan in action ready to go to handle that. You know, we can look at the templates for press releases in advance, that kind of thing. So, Keith, would you maybe be able to help us put together a priority list of what we can do that's easy, quick, definitely needed, definitely, you know, we need to know some delegation or some authority if we would, in a real emergency, have to authorize spending money.
So I think what you're requesting is completely appropriate, and I believe it's what we're working toward right now, which I describe as getting to the low-hanging fruit. What items do we need to deal with? I know Deb's been working on that. We've got the meeting between Keith and our PIO designees that will come out with some of that low-hanging fruit. I know you've had meetings with various service providers who might look at other capabilities being offered to us in the building. And my hope is that in the relatively near term, and by relatively near term, Loris, it means months, we get a list with short-term, medium-term, and long-term issues that the board needs to work through. And I think dealing with the chain of command and what can appropriately be decided by one of us in an emergency situation is part of that low-hanging fruit.
Got it. Thank you. That month's thing.
And the board itself is just like any of the other jurisdictions we're working with. And I'm working with Huxley right now, taking the template that we have for our plans and starting with them to build something that they can link into. And that can be a place when we're done with that, we can come back. Because I also have a list of emergency powers that jurisdictions should be looking at. So we'll try and bring a little bit more of a package to look at that sort of stuff.
Yeah, and all I'll say about the month's concern is it was 6 years from the first time we had a conversation with Keith about the EOC and activation before we got to an exercise. It moves at almost a glacial pace.
I know that. We will have no disasters in this county until we are ready for them down the road.
We're better than we were.
Far better than we were. Piggybacking on your discussions on the Board of Health, we've been through a significant planning process. ESF 8, the medical aspect of it, was a big part of that. We have been working with the Board of Health. We have dug deep into the code and what the requirements are and also our structure within this county. And we will continue to work with you on making that process much better and many external agencies that we're going to have to work with to ensure that we have those capabilities lined up. I'll be honest, we haven't had much chance to engage with the ME. Last time I was talking to you about fatalities management, we just have not had the resources. But now that things we're freeing up a little bit more time, I do intend on re-engaging with the ME's office and building a stronger fatalities management plan. We've also worked on our ESF2, which is our communications plan. Some of the stuff that we addressed in there is we highlighted cybersecurity, emergency management's position, and that is going to be consequence management. But we do highlight the need for different agencies to be stronger on that, and also to build an integrated communication system, relying on the jurisdictions taking responsibility for understanding their communications. We have secured funding for revision to our hazard mitigation plan. This is a critical item because that is by participation by the Board of Supervisors in that we make it so Story County is eligible to receive hazard mitigation funding. There will be an $8,000 cost this time. Instead of it going through the Board of Supervisors, it's coming through the Commission, which is a better, more equitable way of doing it. But there will be activities that the Board of Supervisors will need to participate in to be considered as having participated in that process. And finally, we're working with ISU. We're getting much closer. We're bouncing back and forth in MOU to be able to shift our backup EOC from Community Services Building over to their facility, which ought to free up some space for your COOP cog plan. Amongst all those activities, we've also assisted the Star One with the deployment up to Dunkerton to search for a missing woman, and also with the hazmat situation out on I-35. As we finish out this year and look ahead to FY18, we're going to be revising ESF-15, which is our public information operations plan, which dovetails well on correcting the after-action items that we had. It's going to require us probably to work with IT and facilities within this, within your realm, to be able to make some of those corrective actions. We're also working with planning and development to nail down a debris management plan for the unincorporated areas. This is requiring us to work with them to interface with DNR, and as a matter of fact, today we're going to join them with a meeting down with Ames Reclamation to look at that process. We're going to ramp up the EOC training, so we're going to need the help of the department heads and elected officials for that. And I'd like to close by saying we have made significant progress over the past 5 to 6 years, and we really appreciate the partnership that we've had with the Board of Supervisors to make this make these advances.
Keith, thank you.
No problem.
We're fortunate to have both Keith and Melissa working on our behalf, working for the commission, but very clearly on Story County's behalf in making sure that Story County in whole is as prepared as possible for anything we might face. Questions for Keith?
It is fascinating. It's one of the offices I go down to, and I think I'm just going to need 10 minutes, and it's an hour later before I get out of. Because they have such content and such probing counter questions. You just don't go down there and just get a couple of quick answers.
Keith is nothing if not thorough.
That's an understatement.
I appreciate that.
Absolutely. Thanks, Keith. Takes us to other reports, discussion of County Outreach and Special Projects Manager Work Program. Leanne Harder, it's your work program.
It happens.
So I asked for this to be part of our conversation today based on a meeting that the board had last Tuesday and wanted us to just start to have the conversation. It is not intended, I don't believe, for us to make any wholesale changes. It is intended to give clarification on what is there and inform us on any place we might want to be headed in the future in terms of additions, deletions, modifications that we might go. Leanne, start by just walking us through your work program as it currently exists.
Okay. It's divided into several different sections. I won't go to history, how it's developed. I think you all know that. But I'll just go through each section. Would you like me to go through and kind of give you a highlight of what each section is?
Yeah, and then we'll come back and ask questions if we have any on specifics.
The capital improvements plan. It just is tied to managing the CIP through the process, the accepting projects, putting them on there, a lot of the housekeeping. One thing I'm really proud of, though, is just releasing the Story CIP in preliminary format, but that's a way to present the information in a more lively and less static format. That pretty much all those items are done or like ongoing. Communications plan, that's a plan that's adopted by the board annually in January. I think I bring in December to the board. Those items are either ongoing, such as the newsletters, or have to schedule them their own, or there's some items that we've, like the quarterly media coffee talks, Loris and I talked about removing that and replacing it with something else next year. C2C plan on the next page. Those are all tasks. Majority of the tasks are identified in the implementation matrix of the C2C plan that were assigned to the Board of Supervisors. And then through discussions with the work program were then brought onto my work program. Connect Iowa are items that are from the Connect Iowa action plan 3 years ago. And I think by the end of this calendar year, all of those should be finalized and off. So I don't know that we'll have an ongoing Connect Iowa after this year. The KUBCOG plan relates to the action items that were in the adopted KUBCOG plan. And those are like the annual review, on, as it says, ongoing. And then based on the annual review, may have ones that replace what has been accomplished and where priorities have changed. Watershed management planning deals with the watershed management authorities that we currently serve on or are a member of, or looking at the countywide assessments. Floodplain management program and the community rating system program, CRS, that's something that I brought up with me when I moved upstairs from planning and development. Became kind of a little bit more, cumbersome is not the right word, involved when we became CRS community, and I served as a CRS coordinator. That's where the outreach and the necessity lies, to keep making sure our outreach materials for floodplain are always being reviewed. Miscellaneous is the catch-all, everything from cemetery training that was held a couple weeks ago to the animal shelter RFPs. I worked with Deb and Darren on the secondary roads RFPs, just kind of like where other things just tend to make their way. And then, as you saw today, the urban renewal area. And that, for this current calendar year, is both the Tedesco Environmental Learning Corridor and then our annual mini grants, as Rick, you like to call them.
Uh-huh. And so miscellaneous items could, in fact, be headed special projects as well, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's got some miscellaneous stuff in there, but it's also got special projects that have been assigned down through you. Okay, thanks, Leanne. Questions about the basics of the work program that Leanne has laid out for us?
I'll let Marty go first. I've got several, obviously.
Yeah. I think I found that in years' time here, we have treated Leanne as kind of a catch-all. And if a project arises and we think that she has some expertise or the likelihood of providing us an outcome, we give it to her. I know from just in dealing with her on the floodplain management system, that's a tremendous time sink, that there's a lot more attached there, and the least of which we're doing the reevaluations on our HUCs and our watersheds here in the county. I would have to say that I have had success in getting the information I seek back, which is always a good metric to use.
Uh-huh.
I think she is in a position that wasn't here for it to be created, but I think it's evolving. It has in the time I've been here,
yep.
And I think it will look like something different going forward. And at that point, I will hand off.
Yeah, so it already looks, just commenting on what you said, it already looks different than it was when we first envisioned bringing this forward. It continues to evolve. And I would just add one caveat to what you said. So I heard you say, Marty, that we... any project that we have, we take a look and we see if it fits with Leanne's skill set, anything else. I think there's another component to it. So I think we do look at that. But we also have that component of special projects that don't really fit well with anybody. Those also fall to Leanne.
It's just by the reality.
Yeah. Loris.
Starting with the floodplain management.
So we're skipping down the floodplains?
Yeah, I thought since Marty had already brought it up. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, sure.
And I see Jerry in the back of the room. It's my understanding that Jerry will be certified as of, we hope, September, correct? And then will all of that work? Is the plan to move that to Jerry?
So at this point, Loris, as I understand it, Jerry is certified with right now to serve as a backup to Leanne. Now, if you're suggesting that we need to talk through whether we shift the whole program from Leanne down into planning and development, I think it's a conversation we can sure have, but it's a bigger, broader conversation that better include the Planning and Zoning Commission. We'd have to have Jerry's work schedule beside us and see how it was going to fit. We'd have to talk about potential training for some of Jerry's staff to get that done. What we found is that it wasn't reasonable to have just one who was certified to deal with floodplain, and so we went through the process, and Jerry went through the process of getting certified to have a backup. if we want to move to a different direction, I'm in full support of us having that full conversation, but we haven't had it yet.
Okay.
It's not just automatically intended to go to chair.
Okay. And relate, because I'm not quite aware of what that designation that Leanne has, how transferable it is. I mean, that's just part of it. So I was not quite clear about where that discussion would have to go. And because it sounds like at certain times that is moves to the top of the priority list because she's got deadlines to meet, information to get out. So that's why I was asking it, what shifts or what may not. So there may be a possibility of taking a look later at some of it shifting, some of it not, or whatever. But that's a bigger conversation is what
it
you
is.
Said.
Yep.
Okay. All right. Next, I'd like to go to some of the miscellaneous items or as other. And just a couple of them stood out at me right away. First of all, the Story County video, I would move into communications. All right. I mean, you know, the plan. Some of these things, I think, move elsewhere. I had some questions about what is a quarterly newsletter to dealers? What are they dealing? I mean, I think a car dealer, okay, but I'm not sure.
It is a car dealer. That's something, when this position was first created, I went around and met with all the elected officials and department heads and kind of got what their wish list was and then took that to the board, and that helped the board then develop my initial work program. That's something that Renee has had on her wish list for a number of years, and it's just been a matter of connecting the two of us together to find the time to.
So it's never been implemented. That would belong under communications, I think, also. I mean, we're communicating outreach communications, okay? The CECD exam prep, that's, I assume, some furthering education for you, right, Leanne?
Certified economic developer.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And my question on that is, you're doing that by webinar, right? In part?
No, I've graduated from the University of Oklahoma Economic Development Institute.
Okay.
Now what I'm doing is every Monday, I had been every Monday taking 2 hours aside and studying for the exam. I'll sit for the exam in February, if all goes well,
okay.
In Henderson, Nevada. The onus is on me now to study for exam.
So, okay, because I've noticed on your work schedule there's some studying and there's some webinars and there's some other things.
The webinars and all those are probably for my continuing education credits that are required to maintain my ASP and my CFM certifications.
Okay. Then Leadership Nevada, how is that, are you officially assigned to Leadership Nevada or is that something you're volunteering?
I am. I have served now probably going on 15 years as the county government session chair. And so I managed.
And it was part of your work program way back when you were director of planning development.
Yes.
Yep.
All right. So
I manage. So I attend Leadership Nevada planning sessions, but then when we get to September, I'll start setting up the session that will be held in December.
Okay. Okay. Those were the only questions I had on miscellaneous. And as I said, some of them I think I moved to communication.
Yeah, I heard too. So I heard that you wanted to move Story County video to communication and the quarterly newsletter to dealers to communication.
Correct. Now that I know what it is. And it was right. We are not dealing cards or something else. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Okay. Then I'll start back at the beginning now then, if that's so that I don't confuse people all around here. Okay. I do have some items related under the update communications plan for 2017, and I was desperately digging through the pile on my desk before the meeting started to try and find what Leanne and I had gone over that we discussed at the beginning of the year. There's a couple of items that I think I'd like for us to look at right away that I think we need. One of them is we need to start looking for the intern, the fall intern, okay? Rachel, you're great, wonderful. It's just that I think that with some of maybe as the board moves forward on projects and discussion, it may move more into an intern who is a special who wants to specialize in communication as opposed to HR. Okay.
Yeah. So I've got a question here for you, Laura. Uh-huh. So for the last 6 months or so, you've been really digging in hard communications for the county. And I mean that really broad based.
Right.
Is it time for Story County to treat our communications much like we have treated some of our economic development and planning processes, where we look at developing a full-fledged plan? And that can be in-house, it can be that we contract out to do that, or it can be a combo of those two. But do you feel like we're approaching that time? So what we've got right now is one that we created entirely in-house, and it has simply been, I said to you in your office the other day, we know something itches and we're trying to figure out how to scratch it kind of mentality. Is it time to go more in-depth than that as we're looking at all these different components, website and everything else? Is it time to move through that, and is that a conversation the board needs to have as we go forward?
Well, I believe it is, and then we can from that point make a decision what items fit with us. You know, the reason I just mentioned a couple of items today is because I think there are things we're discussing the work plan, and I think that these are things that need to occur since they'd already been discussed back at the beginning of the year. We talked about an intern, and in fact, we budgeted for an intern for communications outreach. Then I'm just naming a couple things to put on her work plan to make sure that we get them here with the blue squares in the right months, okay, so that we really have an intern this fall.
Sure. So, Leanne, tell me what your perception of what the board, as we went through the budgeting process and we talked about for FY18, the possibility of having an intern at that time, what did you believe was the direction for you to get done there?
Well, I think I'm going to just go to we had a wonderful opportunity with Rachel,
right,
not to pinpoint her out, but she has some skill sets that are just beyond HR. We had an opportunity to have her over the summer months,
right,
go full time for Story County as and then sharing the HR and the just backup for me and the different, in addition to what Darla assists me with.
Sure, but sadly, Rachel goes back to school this fall and we won't have her full time. What's our plan at that point?
I know she had mentioned this Tuesday. She doesn't have class on Tuesdays. So the videotaping the meetings.
Uh-huh.
We haven't had this. We had some informal discussions that she was going to remain. I know we're getting another computer set up in my office so that someone else could then come on board.
And you say we had some conversations. When you say we, who's
Noelle
we?
Noelle and I and Rachel, meaning just informal. We meet every Monday morning,
uh-huh,
on like an internal staff meeting. I hadn't, knowing that Rachel had time yet this fall in her schedule, I had an intention going beyond that for another intern, but that's definitely something to review and look at possibilities.
My suggestion would be, so we take this conversation and we stop this part of the conversation here, but we say, you, Noelle, Alyssa, and even Deb, even though this falls outside of Deb, have the conversation and figure out what's coming to the board in terms of our intern plans for the rest of the fiscal year.
And I would like to point out, taking into account what we discussed with both the budget and what the communication plan was, is that this comes back to the other thing that, yes, I think it's time for us to start to look at actually a real communications plan. And in that discussion last Tuesday, we discussed I'm going to start to pull together a list of what a communications might look like, so then we could ferret out from them, on that. So if that's what you think will serve through the fall, based upon what you understand, the commitments you've made, like a video already and that type of thing,
yeah, I guess, you know, let's have that discussion, bring it back to the board here and stuff. But that is not what I'd understood when I came on, is what a long-term communications intern would be. In fact, we had a, just quite a lengthy discussion about that, and I happen to have worked with the ISU intern coordinator now. I worked with her at the register, mm-hmm. the one who's now. So we had had this discussion.
Yeah, we do have a job description for communications and... I thought it was communications and social media intern, something as an and. But it was when those opportunity did present itself to have someone already trained in the county government, initially trained in the county government, Sabaud and Story County, and really wanted to maximize the opportunity to have Rachel continue to work with us as we went forward.
Absolutely. And so all I'm saying to you, Leanne, and I really, really appreciate that, all I'm saying is, so if we go forward in our budgeting process and we have an expectation that we're moving in a certain direction, it's completely understandable that things change. Realities on the ground make things change, and we adapt as we go. But if this board has an expectation, then we need to talk through whatever those changes might be. And so that's where I'm suggesting we go as we talk this thing through. Not that we are rigidly bound by anything that's happened, but if things change from our expectations, we just need to have that conversation.
So some of the other things that have been discussed that I just put on that I think they're tasks under the communication plan, but I'm not certain given now how we seem to have shifted here. But photos for the website design, having Leanne schedule that with, I guess, the intern or, since we got that new camera. Also, the update the speaker's bureau presentation. I don't believe have been done to the level that they need to be done, so those need to be worked on. So I would put them on the priority list there. Also, presentations to civics groups. It's the same thing. We need to go through what we may have right now, and we need to take a look at it. Does it really reflect and send out the message we want, filled with photos, kind of on the editing and whatever? So that's what I've got under the communication plan.
Right, and I'm so glad we're having this conversation, because I don't believe that anything we're talking about right now, Loris, at least to this point, anything we've talked about, changes the priorities that the board has laid out in front of Leanne at all. And so I understand that there's lots of things in communication that are really bubbling up to the surface, and you're wanting to get those done.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not, and Marty needs to weigh in on this, I'm not hearing anything right now that I'm suggesting to Leanne, you need to go back and amend your work schedule to accommodate these items. What I am very clearly coming out of here with is an expectation that the board sooner rather than later is going to have this conversation about a full-fledged, probably RFP, looking at somebody coming in and doing a full communication plan from us, and then seeing where that leads us.
Right.
That's what I'm hearing as much as anything, is that this is bigger and broader than I think we have ever worked into Leanne's work program.
And I do want to point out, though, that these are on her work program. Update Speakers Bureau presentation is on the work program.
Sure.
So part of this has to do, yes, with prioritization thereof, which is why taking a look at the entire work plan and where she's spending, where she's having to divide her time on that. Okay.
Sure, but let's use that as an example for mm-hmm. us, right, for
right.
this conversation. Update Speaker Bureau presentation, she got on here as a January, February mm-hmm. item, which she did, in fact, update it in January, February. Now, what I'm hearing you say is you're not satisfied with where it is right now to take and utilize. I think I sent you a copy of it when you were doing your thing, and then you updated it for a presentation you were doing. And so I'm hearing full-fledged that you would like to see something more than that. But the reality is, for January to January, she absolutely did what her work program said she was going to do. She updated
it. So really what we're... let's see. How am I going to phrase it? Because I know that you and I had a conversation back in January about quality of work, okay, regarding when it comes to communications. So, yeah, so when I hear about a communications plan, some of it is addition of features such as maybe the KSI commercial or whatever is happening. Some of it has to do with just putting whether any of these tasks. I want to make it clear we're talking just about that when we lay out a task for employees, when we lay out an area that where do we want to look at? Were they just able to check off a box that it was done, or are we able to actually take a look at was it done to a level that we would want?
But that's different for each of the three of us, right?
So correct.
My perception of whether it was done to the level we want, and Marty's perception of whether it was done to the level we want, and your perception of whether it was done to the level we want can all be extremely different. We can all have different expectations, and I believe that on this one specific item, mm-hmm. She did exactly what the board in total wanted from her in terms of performance. She actually took it from what was a fairly mediocre and turned it into something that I think was really usable. Now, that's not to suggest that you don't want it to go beyond that, but that's one of the three of us that's saying that. And if we're going to start talking about job performance, that's a different conversation.
I don't want to have that one. Right. I don't want to have that one. So I guess, yeah, we're back to this discussion about communications that the three of us had last week in that do you want to focus on communications? Let's face it, I ran on communications, and I don't think there's a person in this room who doesn't think I don't know what I'm talking about when I talk about communications, okay? And so whether you want to have that or not, whether, you know, with the expectation of the public going out there forward on that. So, yes, I will certainly say that she did check off her boxes. You're right. And so that's certainly where we are sitting with that particular one. It's been made very clear to me that, you know, as far as what we consider how we would communicate versus how I would communicate are two different levels. And the expectation that I've heard after years out there about county communications, I think is where you're headed with sitting down. And as we discussed before, I've got my list in front of me. I'm going to start with, I'll make a list of what I think we're missing. Some of that will be probably an expertise basis, and some of that will be actual task basis that we're missing. And then the decision will be had, or discussion will occur about whether we do want to bring in an outside communication person to either validate what my impressions are as my many 20-some plus years, or whether I am really just, you know, not validated, or whether
I think that's going to be a really valuable conversation to have. The conversation we're having today deals with Leanne's work program, and so I just want to say now on the record, and you guys can correct me if you see it differently than this, but I think very clearly and by code, we've got three direct reports, right? Mm-hmm. There's three people that report directly to the Board of Supervisors. There is nobody in Story County that works for Rick Sanders or for Marty Chitty or for Laura Solson. There's three people in Story County who work directly for the Board of Supervisors collectively, and there's a whole bunch of people who work for the people that work for the Board of Supervisors collectively. But there's nobody that works for any one of us, and so it gets problematic when there's different individual expectations from each of the three of us, and we've got to flesh that out. Marty.
I think, Lawrence, you came on the board in January. You have a skill set that is working to serve the county and make happen what you believe is efficiencies. And I think we're in the process of getting there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we're there. I think every employee in the county, not just Leanne, not anybody else, has a finite time frame to do their job. Causes me, I stifled a guffaw when I'm thinking about throwing floodplain management to Jerry and his staff when I live here in this town, and on the weekends I see his car here doing his job. in the time that I've been here, we hired a full-time planner because they have so much. I don't think, and I let off my comments early on before you got going. Floodplain Management is an oversized presence in this job, and she does that. And I think it's nice to have a redundancy. We did that collectively. We did that with Aaron in the VA because we knew that we were probably having an unserviced population. You hear coming back from Brett and Aaron that there are people that she gets to serve in Brett's absence, and things are made better by doing that. But I get left in the position where I think that through the growth of the county itself, through the county's government, and our presence out there in the print medium and the electronic medium, quite possibly I see us moving to the fact that having somebody come in on a vendor basis and either confirm, validate, or ask us to go in a different direction that might serve better.
Okay, I'm okay with
but
that.
I think that in January the jump off was the fact this is what our expectations were for Elaine. She's doing it, and everything that we've given her in the interim from that day to this day she's responsible now for more than she was when we started the year.
And I think back to the work plan situation here. As I said, I'm sorry I could not dig up the communications plan because I think you're going to find a couple of these items on today. Going back to where I had kind of gone about some other things I think belong under the possible communications plan as looking at their workload. There's no question that I feel that that the special projects part of this is becoming very, very time intensive. There's no question about it. And why I ask my questions on flood management has to do with the fact I don't know what flood management entails. Okay. I know going back to discussions in January, it was sad. That we were going to go ahead and move, and I met with her, and we looked at some tests and whatever. So I'm absolutely comfortable with us doing that, and if you guys are interested in committing to having a consultant come in and then make that determination, that's fine with me. I think you know this may have been a little more complicated behind the scenes than it would could have been because of how many tasks were thrown at her at since the beginning of the year. Okay.
I've already spoken to that point and
yeah.
I agree because the thing is she's a catch-all on some of the things. We have a great idea. What do we give it to?
And so that's the other part of looking at the work plan is, who do we? Deb and I went out today and we took a look at out of the box possible solution to maybe some of the transitional housing, et cetera. Okay?
And then Deb's day got busier.
Pardon?
And then Deb's day.
And then
Dave,
yeah, that's right.
Yes, I mean, that's what we do individually and then
right.
We work as a collective for the fact that ideas sometimes seek us or vice versa.
Right.
And then what do we do? We have, once again, I speak to a finite period of time. People have to apply to do their jobs. When we ask or get another task, we close the window on what they can do, but with the expectations, they're still going to do what we've asked them to do.
I agree. And I think that's across the board, regardless of which direct report. We
do that. The nice way to say that is we're not stacked.
We're not sad. So then Rick brought up the issue then about that one person doesn't work for any of us. And so obviously we are working for that with that behind the scenes too. Because when then is it appropriate for us to take an employee, a particular employee out, one of us? And when is it? I mean, I think everybody knew Deb and I were going this morning because of some special needs.
Did you feel the need to communicate or ask permission?
No, I did not, but I wasn't sure I shouldn't have.
No, that's Deb's responsibility.
Yeah, we're off on this, but we're going to have this conversation
yeah.
now. That's Deb's responsibility that if she thinks it's outside her workload and one of us ask her to do it, it's Deb's responsibility to say, no, that's outside my workload. Same thing for Alyssa, same thing for Leanne. This is not on my work program. If you want to talk about putting it on my work program, go to the board, have the conversation, and let's go. If it fits within their work program or may fit within their work program, we trust our employees to know their jobs and say, no, you know what? That's not my job.
and I'm not doing it. And that's where I stand on those.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's see. Coming in then back to what we're discussing today, this work program, what if it is, I mean, you know, then we get into it is somebody's job. It's clear it's on a work program that it's on their job, but it's not getting done, and the reason is because there's so many things on the work program that the employee is having to prioritize. So I think that's maybe where we need to work some more on who does that person communicate with, especially if it was something that the whole board said needed to happen. Does the person come back to the entire board and do that? I mean,
yes,
you know,
so I would suggest, yes, so the hypothetical, but I would suggest that if an employee, any employee, the ones that report directly to us or not, feels like their job is too big for a full-time job and they're not able to get it done, you go straight to HR, you say, I believe that this job is bigger than full-time. We do a full job analysis. When I say we, I mean HR, mm-hmm. does a full job analysis and reports those findings to the board. If, on the other hand, you're talking about a performance evaluation, somebody's either not getting the job done or we disagree about the kind of job somebody's getting done, that occurs in a Tuesday morning board meeting as a full agenda item, and the employee in question mm-hmm. has the right to request that that become a closed session. Otherwise, it happens in a public session. So two different issues as I see it. If it's a workload issue and we have a problem, I would say we refer it to Alyssa. If it's a workload issue and the employee has a problem, the employee refers it to Alyssa. And that's the flow that it goes.
Okay. All right. Coming back here to focus back on this, since I'm sure there are people who are going, what are they all dancing around and what are they talking about? Okay. So in this particular situation, taking a look at all of the tasks here, okay, and given that the fact that one supervisor doesn't agree with whether the tasks are being adequately performed,
okay.
from a quality standpoint. So that would be, if I understand it, that would be two of us needing to put it on the agenda, correct?
No, one can put it on the agenda, we'll have the conversation, and maybe it won't go anywhere, maybe it will go somewhere, but any of the three of us have the ability to put anything on the agenda we want to put on the agenda. And then what happens from there, it happens as we're sitting right here.
Okay. So on this again, all right, so we're already on the agenda here with this, and I have a couple others in here that, like under corner to stone to capstone, which I think should shift to communications. Okay, just because it's like under cornerstone to capstone comprehensive, you go halfway down it, develop outreach campaign. But then it says for Flood Awareness Month and National Preparedness Month. So outreach campaign is communications. Clearly, Flood Awareness and National Preparedness Month is a specialty. All right, so where does that fit here from you guys as far as a task?
Well, so where I am right now is these are the tasks that exist in Leanne's work program. Doesn't matter what category we put them under.
Okay.
These are the tasks that exist. If I'm hearing you correctly, Loris, that you're going to bring forward a proposal in the future for the board to consider a full-fledged communication plan,
mm-hmm.
then I would suggest that we hold on to all of this for that conversation and see where that conversation goes, because it could dramatically impact the items that we have in one pot versus another. Right now they're all in one pot, right? They're all in this one, and it doesn't matter what the heading is as far as what they're under. Everything can move around depending on what we learn.
But I didn't, and I'm good with that. I'm not the one who said we need to get this on the agenda as soon as possible here with our, as a jump off from the communications discussion we had last week. You were the one who said that. That's why I thought we were talking
chicken
about
the egg. I think the communications kind of started this conversation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as
communications did. Yes.
So I would say you take your pick. You're the egg. He's the chicken.
Okay.
I think I agree with that completely. But let's just be completely clear why we're talking about this today. Because in our meeting last Tuesday afternoon, it became very clear to me that we had one supervisor who was either unhappy or unclear about the direction and performance of this position. And I wanted to figure out whether it was, which one it was. If it's unhappy, then it becomes a performance review situation. If it's unclear, then I was hoping we could clarify today. And what I've heard is it's a little of both.
It's a little of both.
And so what I'm suggesting is we're to the end, I believe, we're to the end of this conversation today. Her work plan is her work plan. I happen to believe very strongly that she's meeting her work program. I am completely open to the idea of digging in and looking at all components. But we specifically are talking about communication, but looking at all components of her work program as we go forward. But that is a multi-step, timely, and I know you're loving that, timely process for us to get through. Marty, you see it differently than that. Where are you?
This is a componentized discussion. I think I'm tethered to the fact that we made a commitment on how we were going to have the county operate as we set it up through the budgeting process and as we provisioned for the various offices. We have clearly done different things. We have taken on additional tasks through our own desire, and things come to us, and we have to be responsive. I see Leanne as being given, and I said it before, I'll say it again, she's doing more than she did at the start of the year. She's checking the boxes as I see them. If we want to, you know, and I welcome the fact that on a vendor basis is on, you know, somebody to come in as we're doing on the E911 board. Mm-hmm. We are doing the interview process on who is doing, whose technology we should buy and how we should implement it. I mean, the county understands its limitations on, you know what you know, and you should be honest and admit what you don't. Mm-hmm. And I think you are prompting a discussion in a direction that I think doesn't reside with one individual. But you happen to be the person that we always pass things to, or at least that's my experience, that maybe at some point you weren't going to get both the response or the results that you were looking for because.
Okay. That's good. And then on a whole different thing, just in noticing, there are a couple of tasks on here that I think are no longer germane. Okay, just under cornerstone to capstone, it's conducted biennial review of Story County Code of Ordinances. Well, we're now hiring that out, right? So the codification contract has already been, put out. Now, if maybe this instead is, Leanne, is this a review of the ordinances to see if anything's out of date, which is something our codification, you know, like we should be changing it to bring it up to whatever modern standards are or something?
I think on its first page it says it's a living, evolving document. Okay. And I think we asked the question, we have the discussion. I would like to hear her response to just the C2C issue.
Sure. Yeah, Leanne.
Yeah, I think it it does go back to looking at the regulations and seeing how in line they are with the priorities and the vision, the goals of the C2C plan, not whether or not it's codified as contract of Iowa codification appropriately. Do we have a regulation on the books that is directly contradictory to one of the C2C goals? The implementation matrix and the C2C plan itself suggests that be done on every alternating year basis.
It's part of our report card, right, for the C2C that you're responsible for taking us through.
Correct.
Okay. Let's explore opportunities to provide staff assistance for the Housing Trust Fund and implement business development coordinator position in Story County. Well, the Housing Trust Fund is functioning fine. There's not really any opportunity there. So wherever that was put in at the point of a plan is you know, that's not
well, so
without.
A couple things. One, the Housing Trust Fund Board at least doesn't exist yet, right? But it doesn't exist yet.
And they've already made a decision, as Rick, you and I have already kind of just had a brief conversation about. They've already decided there are four board members. It exists. It needs to expand. But they had to form a formal board to go in with their application to IFA. So you have the task force that I'm sitting on and about 12 other people who put the application packet together. But as part of putting that together, there had to be four people named as the actual initial board.
Okay.
And that board has already decided, along with consulting with the task force, that they are going to be paying an existing housing trust fund to administer the funds, at least for the first year or so.
I don't believe a formal decision has been made. I have never seen anything that says a formal
You're
decision.
You're right. A vote has not been taken. We going to discuss putting a proposal in front of the group, the formal housing trust board?
Well, we haven't discussed anything yet, but I think it's worth our time to discuss that, and it would be worth the housing trust fund's time that if we did discuss something like that, that they consider it. That's what I and no telling where it goes, but I don't believe anybody's made a decision about anything yet unless they're making decisions inappropriately.
Oh, I don't think there was any inappropriate decision made. There was no formal vote. I think that these people, having worked so closely together, all were in the same mind. But you're right. So I guess, are we going to direct her in the future to present an unsolicited report to that board? I mean, or is that something the three of us would vote on?
We would have to vote on it. She doesn't have the ability to just decide to present something. We would have to have that as an agenda item. We'd have to discuss it, and we'd have to take action. But what we're talking about is, does it belong on her work program? And
correct.
I believe very clearly it does at this point, because we don't know where that's headed yet. That's what I was saying. And then if we want to talk about doing something, Story County being more actively involved and providing more resources, I think that's an appropriate conversation for us to have. We've not had it yet, and it's not on a future agenda that I can see.
Implement business development coordinator position. I'm unaware of any business development coordinator position. I know I haven't had any discussions about this.
What is that, Leanne?
The item is to look at what Ames has done with City of Ames, along with Ames Economic Development, to who's in it right now? Oh, Brenda left. I can't remember that.
Yeah, Perkins has the job, doesn't she? Or
no,
she's
been gone. Is it John? John Hall.
Oh, okay.
His position is a position that serves almost as a conduit and help between development community and the regulators, so the city, to facilitate the entire development review process.
And that item was simply for you to go through the process of putting together an item for the board to consider.
Mm-hmm.
Have we done that yet?
No, not yet.
So that's why that's on there.
Okay. Master Transportation Plan RFP. Now, I talked to Darren about this in January when Leanne and I were going over this plan originally, and neither Darren nor I felt that there was any possibility that if we were interested in putting one together, that it would be at least a year or more off. And just from being able to bring something to the board, we're not talking about a decision here. We're talking about realistically what to even bring to the board. As Darren and I had the initial conversation, especially given the fact we've already got the Ames Area Metropolitan Planning Organization, which is a transportation planning in itself, et cetera. So I think that should be removed, quite frankly. It's not going to happen this year.
Yeah, but there are many components of all of our staff's work program that time constraints has. And I chuckle about this because we talk pretty regularly about how the realities of the government process is meeting with your expectation that things are going to happen quickly, and the two are really button heads. This is one of those things. There have been multiple items that we put on Leanne's work, and I'll speak directly to Leanne. We put on Leanne's work schedule to get done late in any given calendar year, that the reality is it pushes back to the next calendar year, but it still has value in being on the work program because it keeps it in front of us, and it means that we have somebody pushing the board to say, hey, you said you were going to talk about this. When does that happen, and what needs to happen? And that's part of her special projects.
Okay. Well, and that's good because it brings up another issue of philosophy we're struggling with, I think, on an ongoing basis, is you said we were going to talk about this. This is a new board. I've never, ever...
approved this work program.
Well, I approved it.
You were part of a board that approved this.
I was part of a board that at the time... coming on to it new, and I had already had a discussion there with Leanne about that I didn't think this was going to happen. So it was my, apparently what you're saying to me is that I should have taken it off then. So I'd like to then put the her works program back on it. This is just a discussion item,
yep.
Right? We can't take any action.
Right.
I'd like to put her work program back on here and go by item, by item, by item, and get it moved since we voted for it, and I apparently did a really stupid thing, okay?
No,
so
absolutely
it's
not.
On the record now, right, for everybody in the future. And by approving this, and apparently some of this stuff is never going to come to fruition, but it's instead to remind that I talked about this, but I never talked about this item.
How long was full-scale comprehensive plan? How many years was that part of your work program before we got to the C2C? Three?
Well, it came up when I was in planning and development, too.
Okay, so 5-8 years ago, it moved through. I think the only issue I have with anything you just said, Morris, is never to fruition. I don't buy that. I think the way these things happen is they get inserted into a work program. They get inserted as a priority. They get inserted as a goal. And they may not happen immediately, and they may not happen as fast as some people would like them to happen, but this is how you gather momentum to get things done. And the reality is, much as you hate to acknowledge this, we did talk about transportation before you came along. We did talk about housing before you came along. We did talk about communications before you came along. And it's a continuum, much like we talked about economic development before I came along, we talked about any number of things before any of us have been here, and they get a momentum, or they don't, and they move ahead, or they don't. And this is all part of the process.
But at what point then, where, hey, it doesn't have any momentum, so let's stop it. So what I'm hearing you is that as this list becomes longer and longer and longer every year, then I think it certainly inflates the work plan, and it inflates what she's going to be working on. Yeah, I think any employee. I don't want to focus on just one person's work plan. Realistically here, if we're doing and rolling out there, if everybody made a list like this, there are some items on a work plan that aren't going to yet come to fruition, or they're years down the road and they should come off of the work plan. And then
deciding no is a decision. So you can get to a decision point in something and decide no, and that you still took action on. It's not like the time you spent building up to no was worthless.
But if it's on a work plan, now I'm going to be as the employee here. It's on my work plan. I'm going to get evaluated whether I went ahead and met the expectations and the goals on my work plan. So I need to check off a box in one way or the other. I actually faced this as we put together the website refresh structure committee because prior boards in evaluations of two different senior employees had gone ahead and given basically the same goal related to the website refresh or redesign. And so I asked both of those employees to send me, what does it say in your work plan? Okay, what is a goal from your evaluation? And sure enough, it was the same thing from both employees.
So you're saying there can't be collaboration between two
employees?
Absolutely,
and that's what we did is we put me in as a facilitator, and they're going to do the collaboration. But But I'd like to point out that just structuring this without going back and constantly reviewing about what actually is going to get done in the year and where are we headed forward, that's a work plan. This, what you're talking about, keeping some of these items on, are not a work plan. They're a look at it, the future plan. Let's talk about next year plan, but they're not a work plan for this particular year.
I think that's completely inaccurate. I think that if it's on this work program right here, I have 100% certainty that if it's on this work program right here, Leanne will make sure that we discuss it. If we need to discuss it, either she handles it or we discuss it at some point during this year. I know how Leanne works. That's how she does it 100% of the time. There's not any question in my mind. It does not say necessarily that every one of these things will get done this year. It just says it's part of our work program for this year. One of Leanne's major roles is holding the board accountable. Too many boards, I'm not talking about this board, too many boards all over the place do not have accountability for things they talk about. And so you hear about plans that get done and sit on a shelf and collect dust. 100%. We don't allow that to happen here. And one of the primary ways we don't allow it to happen is we have a staff member that is responsible for making sure that it is out in front of us every time that we put it on the schedule. And that's exactly what we've done here, and I think it's appropriate.
It's on here for 5 months in a row. If her job is to remind us that we need to talk about a master transportation plan, I think that's a, hey, gang, do you want to talk about this? We're done with it. A 5 month.
Sure, but when we put this on here, Loris, we didn't have any idea where this housing, oh, we're talking transportation, I still thinking housing. We didn't have any idea where we were going to be in the process. And if we were ready to go, it would be 5 months leading up to it. The reality is, what I'm hearing from you is, you're not going to be ready for us to get moving on a transportation plan this year. So it is a much shorter time frame than we thought it might be.
And so I communicated that. So then back to if we bring this back as a actual consideration item, then we can go through these and adjust it.
But now you're talking about a level. You're talking about a level of micromanagement that I'm not comfortable with. I don't want to see Leanne's daily schedule. I want to sit down. I believe it's this board's role. This is a difference in philosophy.
It absolutely is.
I believe it is this board's role to set the work program, set the priorities, have expectations, and then deal with those. It is not our responsibility, or nor is it appropriate for us on a day-to-day or even week-to-week basis be digging into what Leanne, Deb, or Alyssa's schedule or work calendar looks like.
But this is not a day-to-day. This was the overall work plan that you said to me I voted for.
I did.
Now I believe there need to be changes to it based upon the fact that some of these are not going to be accomplished. You know, this is not day-to-day management. This is instead looking at an employee's work plan halfway through a calendar year, which is how this is set up as opposed to a fiscal year. This is going through and taking a look at realistically what are these.
Yeah, you haven't heard me yet say that I'm opposed to us. I heard you say go through line by line on this. That does sound a lot like micromanagement to
me.
But if you want that on our agenda, you have the authority to put that on our agenda.
Put it on the agenda, that's fine.
We don't need to talk about it anymore today. Right? If we're going to have it on our agenda, we don't need to talk about this anymore today.
Well, I am going to address the challenge of it being micromanagement.
Yeah,
If we're not responsible for determining what each one of these are here, I don't consider that's micromanagement. I would consider that is the opposite. If we just say, okay, we are going to say, yep, Cornerstone to Capstone Comprehensive Plan, we're done, and not look at each individual item on that, we're not doing our job.
But we do look at each individual item on that. We just don't. We don't look at it on a day-to-day basis.
I'm not asking to look on it on a day-to-day basis.
It feels a lot like you are.
You know, if we get much deeper in this conversation, I do agree that this is going to get very one person calling the other person like the pot and the kettle calling. Okay, so I'm going to put it on next week's agenda, or if it's more capable to go first week in July. I know we've got a couple of other things that are hard and going to take some time, all right?
Yeah, we're not meeting first week in July.
Right, we're not meeting the first week in July. And I do want to go through this employee's work plan item by item at the halfway point of her year.
All right, we're going to do it with our other employees too, or is this just the Leanne thing?
Well, to my understanding, Leanne is the only one who has this particular type of plan. We're actually undergoing the evaluation of Deb right now. In fact, I stayed last night late, made my comments to the draft of the evaluation, and it's on Marty's desk unless he's moved it over to your desk. So in that particular case, that is going to be on the agenda on the 26th. It's not laid out. One of the issues is it's not laid out the same way, but it's basically the same type of thing. We identified some areas for her, but the fact that this is so laid out in itself, I didn't create this layout. This is a layout that's been used before. So if the accusation is micromanagement, it had to come before I ever got involved with this.
No, this layout came straight from Leanne. This is how Leanne refers to work. The difference is, in every year previous that Leanne has done this, her work program has been established in the first part of the year, and then it's been analyzed in her annual review every year without a whole lot of insertion by the Board of Supervisors in the meantime, unless there was a particular issue that was coming.
I think there's been a particular issue. The fact that we have spent 2 weeks in a row discussing it in addition to the kind of what's been going on.
Well, we spent 2 weeks in a row discussing it because you wanted us to discuss it.
Absolutely. I wanted to discuss it. You know, just because I know that there will be points headed into my next, 3.5 years on this board, where there will be other issues that one supervisor wants to discuss, whether and related to a variety of things. So to take away the fact that I want to discuss this, that I think it's productive for the county to discuss this, and I think there are some other issues that are coming to the surface here. And
such as?
There's clearly a difference in philosophy about how we manage employees.
How do you do? How are you doing? 6 months into the job, how are you doing?
I don't know. All I know is that we are at the point where I am really, I'm trying, but my management philosophy is quite frankly, if an entire board asks somebody to do something and they don't do it, there's a word for that. Okay,
and we had that. Have we had the entire board or one supervisor?
We've had the conversation that what happened in that particular instance was clearly documented, and that it was the entire board who did something. And if you, Rick, are saying that this incident we're talking about did not include the entire board,
I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay. All right. I am, for my first time, finding to struggle with this open meetings concept and this personnel concept about being in an open meeting here. Okay? Really trying to struggle with it because I know these conversations have occurred. And
you know?
I participated in the conversation.
You speak obliquely. I'm just looking for clarity.
Because I am trying not to discuss a personnel issue that isn't noticed on the agenda, but I'm getting attacked. I feel that you're discounting. You're discounting what has happened behind the scenes. And Marty just asked, how is it going? Well, how is it going? I come from a world where if you ask an employee to do something, or in this case, as has been pointed out to me several times back there, when an entire board, there's a difference between a board and a particular supervisor asking, and this board asked as part of a discussion in budgeting, and discussed it during the work session, and then also discussed it when we were talking about how we were going to go ahead and handle it when we voted to purchase some equipment related to this particular issue?
I don't think there's a great deal of clarity attached. We knew that we were moving in a direction. We provided ourselves with technology. Where the endpoint was certainly did not exist in my mind, nor was it communicated.
It was communicated. It was definitely communicated right at the board table, and when we purchased that equipment, where that equipment and that program was going to be located. And there was a subsequent conversation that was an informal one that was not at the board table.
So I'm going to stop the conversation right now because we are rapidly crossing the line to employee evaluation.
Yes, we are.
If you want to charge that we have insubordination from one of our employees, charge it. It'll come to us as a board meeting. If you want to do a partial year evaluation of an employee, put it on the agenda and we'll have that conversation. The employee will have the opportunity to deal with that. Marty, any final thoughts on this? And we're moving on. We spent enough time there.
I sat there and listened to Keith Morgan tell us about things that he's working on with timelines that go into years with the expectation that they will be long in process and unknown in outcomes. You know, you sit there and you look, nearly, Alyssa just spoke to it on our revisions on our handbook. We do things that revolve, evolve, refresh, and we revisit. I don't see this as anything else. I think this is moving clearly into a personal level that I don't appreciate.
And I don't appreciate that acquisition, sir. I
That's
really
an observation
don't.
I am entitled to, and your opinion, you are also entitled to. But I have sat here quietly and observed a conversation. My takeaway is my own. I represent it as nothing more. Thank you.
And then the only thing I'll add, Morris, is there's a difference between disagreeing and discounting. And I can absolutely disagree with you without discounting you. If I discounted you, we sure as heck would not have spent an hour on that conversation. I'm allowed to disagree. And there's no disrespect in disagreeing. It's part of the deal that we're supposed to do up here. Okay? Leanne? So, Leanne, you've sat here and you've listened to people talk about you for the last hour. Let me just say this from my perspective. Story County is lucky to have you. We are so fortunate in all the roles that you've taken for Story County, and we are so appreciative of the work you put in, and my sincerest apologies to you that you've had to sit here and listen to that and for anything that might be discussed in the future, but we're going to handle things by the book, step by step as we go forward. You have my thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next item is the discussion and direction regarding the Story County Fair booth display. Leanne Harder and Rachel Wilson, and I can bet you dollars to donuts that there is nowhere Rachel Wilson would rather be less than sitting right here in this chair, but come on up. So this is the conversation that stemmed from our budget work sessions where this board discussed our very real, substantial participation in the Story County Fair. And it became apparent to me in the last few years that while Story County was heavily supporting the county fair and participating in things like the supervisors traditionally have gone into our own pockets to provide dollars to purchase ribbons for winners and things, we had a oversized participation, but no presence at all for Story County at the Story County Fair. In fact, if you didn't know that it was in Story County, with the exception of it saying Story County Fair, there's no Story County logos. There's no outreach at all done by us as a county, traditionally never has been. And I ask that we consider really taking our level of participation at the county fair up this year. We discussed that as a board and, in fact, agreed that it was a conversation worth having. And so now we're having that conversation. And I don't know, Rachel or Leanne, which one of you are going to lead this conversation, but one of you, have at you.
Well, not much to add to that other than Rachel and I did prepare a memo for the board's meeting today, again, to really identify what our presence looks like at the Homestead State Fair, at the county fair. We did have a map, too, that we had a possible location. We have a booth. Rachel spent some time. She's identified some tents. So we're here today to really get some direction. How would you like the display to be staffed? We propose running two-hour overlapping shifts, going from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. daily. And I would assume that possibly Rachel or I or both would start out each morning to make sure the shifts get started. We would exclude that Sunday, which the fair really activities occur, but it really kind of opens at noon, so noon to 6. There would be about 40 time slots. We're bringing it forward to get some direction. What is staff time considered to fill those time slots, work hours or so forth? And then just we had some ideas of what the expectation of employees would be and the materials that we're starting to identify. Does that give you enough?
It gives us a place to start the conversation. So, Marty, you've been going to the Story County Fair since you were knee-high to a grasshopper, right?
Yeah.
So is there value in it to us being out there and making sure that everybody there is aware that Story County stands ready to help and we're here?
I don't see this thing as any different than we're doing with our story. You know, we are talking about a potential radio presence. I think that I'm willing right now to commit my time to be present and answer whatever questions get asked. I don't think this is a venue that currently involves the county, and you see it from the outer reaches in, and it's just focused here. I would think this would be a worthy commitment on our staff's time and ourselves, and I would like to think I would ask my board members to participate in it as well.
Sure.
This is heavily attended. I think if you have not been a part of this at all, or maybe just tangibly, you're missing out for an opportunity to meet members of the county you otherwise wouldn't.
Sure. And it should be underscored, no cost other than any materials that we have to hand out, any staff time that we commit to, but no cost for the location or anything like that. And I heard, Lynn, I think, did you identify the possibility of a tent? Where did you identify that?
Conservation and the Sheriff's Department offered tents that are available during the fair time.
Okay.
That we could use.
Super. Loris, questions, comments?
None. I've already blocked it out on my schedule. To starting with, I don't know, there's a breakfast at 6:30 in the morning.
You're going that early?
It's something that starts early, like on Wednesday morning. I thought, okay, well, it sounds interesting, but
it ramps up through the day.
Yeah. So I'm not saying that.
Steak sandwich, I'm just going to say to everybody, Beef Producers Day, the steak sandwich, phenomenal. And try the cherry pie because it's exceptional. So the things that we really have to decide on, are we good with the materials that we're talking about? This is going to be a little bit of an evolving list if, in fact, we decide to go forward. The primary focus, I believe, would be a presence, a robust presence of the county at the fair during these hours. The real thing we would have to commit to here is, are we willing to say to staff, we want you to sign up for a two-hour block, and that will count as work time for you for that two-hour block. We need to take formal action if, in fact, we're doing that, because there's a cost associated with that.
I am comfortable in doing that. It's not written as an action item, but
Well, let's change this back. This is direction for them to put together a final plan that we would take action on.
I have full support and belief that we will be pleased with the response that we get.
Yeah, I agree. And just to let you know, and I was going to pass it on to Leah later anyway, when you guys come back with, you know, the formal plan here, there is an opportunity to have KSI goes out and they broadcast every Monday, and they start, I think, at noon or something, and they interview through 9 o'clock at night. And there is an opportunity to up our presence for just one day for a cost. I'll send it to them. It's very low. But so anyway, yeah, I'm very excited and comfortable about it. And being out there in the past, sitting with no tent, right out front of the cattle pavilion or whatever that was.
It's a very non-Ames setting.
That it is. So, okay. So do you need a motion for direction?
We can do it with an informal motion, or we can just make sure that they're clear on what our direction is. It sounds like we have good consensus here on where we're headed. Do you guys have enough information to put together a finalized plan for approval by the Board of Supervisors, including the reality that we will recognize probably a maximum number, so I don't want somebody signing up for every time slot and expecting that we're going to compensate them for all that. But if it's two shifts that each person takes and we're going to compensate up to 4 hours for their work at the fair, something like that, if you can come up with a present, a formal item for us to consider, I think that'd be great.
Mm-hmm.
Good?
Yes. Yes. Do you happen to have the dates? The
21st to the 26th are the official dates.
Excellent.
Of the fair.
Okay.
All right.
I see a little bit of a questioning on the Lewis's.
The only thing I'd add is that the elected official or the department
can approve. Absolutely. Each one, each elected official would need to sign off before their staff is eligible. We can make all reports to the Board of Supervisors eligible. So just consider that. So I want to say this. Great job putting this together. This was my first opportunity to really visit with Rachel as she started to pull all this together. Leanne, I think it's fair to say that you handed a lot of this to Rachel. Rachel, you did a great job being thorough and thinking through what this might look like. Now it's time for a formal proposal. Super. Anything else?
No.
All right. Thank you, guys. Public forum 2 is an opportunity for members of public to comment on items not on today's agenda. Board may not take any action due to the comment requirements of the open meeting law, but we might in the future. Anybody wishing to address us? I'm assuming none of our staff wants to take that opportunity. Liaison assignments, Marty.
I have next week we'll be continuing to completion our E911 interviews with vendors in discussions on who we would ultimately like to see partner with us in refreshing a 1996 setup, which is very elderly. Got another meeting scheduled for the Beta Rec Center early next month. We've got regional mental health here tomorrow, or I mean on Thursday, Second Judicial on Friday. Crestview discussions, as Loris can well tell you her story of the last 7 days, it rises and falls. It comes to you when you don't anticipate it, and sometimes it goes to depths that you cannot believe. And we have a joint AEDC and EDC meeting, what, tomorrow night?
Tomorrow at 4.
Tomorrow at 4.
Mm-hmm. Until we hear elsewhere.
It is 4. I checked. Okay. It's 4 o'clock. Loris.
Okay. Like to hopefully have on next week's agenda the discussion about a point person related to Crestview. Speaking of
that, here is my little bullet that we went through that whole conversation. We never did.
We never did it. Right.
Well, we need to have it on the agenda as a consideration.
Okay,
well,
that,
okay.
Yeah,
but I think it's time. Okay, so animal control contract ordinance and services review group meets this afternoon. Website refresh committee meets tomorrow. Tonight I have Central Iowa Regional Housing Authority, which is the Section 8 people. It's the annual meeting. I am going. So is Vanessa, who's the actual Oxbury County contractor. I'm the alternate. But I am interested to see if I can learn more about that. Now, Section 8 has a home ownership plan where you can apply your Section 8 subsidy to actually a mortgage payment instead. Tomorrow there's a public meeting, a HERDA. I'll be at that, then heading right over to the joint meeting of the AADC and the Country Club, et cetera. Then tomorrow night or Thursday night, I have Community and Family Resources. On Saturday, I'm going to go out to Hickory Grove and watch the Story County Amateur Radio Club. They're participating in the International World Day, something called. Anyway, so that when we have that big apocalypse that I keep on waiting for with eagerness, that we will have radio communication.
Check out our new shower building while you're out there. It's looking good.
I will.
Anything else?
That's it.
All right. I take a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
We are adjourned. Outstanding.